Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
The presidential primary in New Hampshire next year celebrates its 100th anniversary. It became the first in the nation primary in 1952. But the state's first primary was 1916, when old-school Yankee Republicans dominated all New England politics. Now, the GOP base is in the South, and Republicans in the first primary state are sometimes seen as out of touch with some conservative views that play well there. WBUR's Asma Khalid has this look at the role the New Hampshire primary still plays in the Republican presidential process.
When Republican candidates are not in New Hampshire, they're usually eager to show off their conservative street cred. Here's Ted Cruz, Jeb Bush, and Marco Rubio last month addressing the Faith and Freedom Coalition.
When I was the Solicitor General of Texas, I was proud to defend the Ten Commandments monument on the state capitol grounds.
We should not push aside those that do believe in traditional marriage. I, for one, believe it's important, and I think
And you cannot have strong families with a government that strong-arms parents and our faith.
Catch Cruz, Bush, or Rubio in New Hampshire, and they're likely to talk about the economy, ISIS, and Obamacare. When Republican presidential candidates swing through New Hampshire, social issues are on the back burner. Take Carly Fiorina. In Iowa, she's trying to make abortion a major campaign issue. But at a recent campaign stop in New Hampshire, she only mentioned abortion when a voter directly asked her about it. That voter was Andrea Alexander, and she says a candidate's abortion position is a litmus test for many of her friends.
The Republicans have to nail that. If you're anti-Roe v. Wade, goodbye.
Alexander personally disagrees with Fiorina's opposition to abortion rights, but she says she'll still vote for Fiorina.
She's my new Mitt Romney. It's about the economy, stupid.
And Alexander's attitude sort of explains New Hampshire GOP politics.
Republicans here aren't going to be upset if a candidate has a position on either gay marriage or abortion that is out of step with theirs. They just don't want to hear them talk about it.
University of New Hampshire political scientist Andy Smith.
They're more than happy to have the candidate hold whatever position they feel is important, but just don't try to get me to change my mind and make me vote for you because of that position.
Polls suggest New Hampshire is one of the least religious states in the country, second only to Vermont. And nearly half of Republican primary voters approve of same-sex marriage. Not to mention, they're also more supportive of abortion rights than the country as a whole. Smith says that creates tension. And so Republican candidates steer clear of social issues on the New Hampshire campaign trail.
Great example of that. Ben Carson was here. And Carson got his political start largely being involved in evangelical groups. The National Prayer Breakfast, he gave a big speech, and that kind of put him on the national stage. Very popular among social conservative groups within the Republican Party. He came and talked and didn't talk once about abortion.
And why talk about it? It's a law, and it's a done deal, and it's not going to get repealed.
That's Doug Scammon's attitude on abortion. Scammon is a veteran state lawmaker, sort of like GOP royalty in the Granite State.
New Hampshire is a place that looks at people, how do we think they're going to govern, and not so much how they're going to tell us how we live our lives.
Because, Scammon says, New Hampshire voters do not want to hear people preach at them.
You know, I think that people want to know that the president is going to be able to lead this country in reducing expenditures, balancing the budget, and being fiscally responsible.
Scammon considers himself a middle-of-the-road kind of guy, but still a staunch Republican. Andy Smith, the political scientist from UNH, points out that for a good chunk of the 20th century, New England, and New Hampshire in particular, was Republican territory.
That's not that the voters in New Hampshire have changed. It's really that the Republican Party has changed a lot.
Smith says Republicans in other parts of the country tend to think of New Hampshire as an outlier. But if it is an outlier, it's an outlier with a strangely predictive power.
Typically, if you win New Hampshire as a Republican, you win the nomination.
That pattern seems counterintuitive. The party has shifted away from New England, but New Hampshire still seems to have a big impact on picking the GOP nominee. Smith explains it this way.
Because it's early in the process, and because it has high turnout, after New Hampshire, the moderate wing of the party is winnowed down to one candidate, typically.
And then Smith says, by the time you get to South Carolina, the primary is usually a battle between that one mainstream Republican versus a few social conservatives. Chris Galdieri, a politics professor at St. Anselm's College in Manchester, says the New Hampshire primary remains important because it's not just about New Hampshire. It's a microcosm of a general election.
A lot of Republicans are going to be paying attention to not just who says the right things, but who do I think has the best chance of getting elected.
And Galdieri says the money and the power brokers tend to pay attention, too. He says New Hampshire's elevated role is sort of an accident of history, but an accident that means this old-fashioned New Hampshire strain of GOP politics carries more weight than you would expect in the modern Republican Party. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Asma Khalid.